1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to get to in just a few moments. Look at the time here, and you listen quickly. And excuse me, I'll try to speak quickly and trust we'll be able to gather what the Lord may have for us here today. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to guide us. Dear Father, our time is fleeting, and we come to the opportunity now to look into your precious word. We pray that your Spirit would take it, impact our hearts with it today, and give me clarity as I speak forth your word. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, wills to do. So guide our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is Stewardship Month. You know that a steward is one who takes care of another's goods. Last week, we considered the first step in our stewardship is, first of all, acquiring goods. And I preached a message to you last week entitled Acquired Honestly. And we looked at that. We cannot care for what we do not have. And so the first step in me as a steward who cares for another's goods, there must be goods for me to have to care for them. I cannot give anything until I possess something to give. And last week we looked at how do we do that? How do we acquire goods honestly? To do that, we focused on first recognizing the ownership of God. Remember out of Psalm 24:1, He owns all the places, all the possessions, all the people. After that, we must recognize our partnership with God. Our role in honestly acquiring goods is plain old work, plain old hard work. That's the way God's designed it in his economy, is that we would most often acquire goods honestly through work. That's our role. God's part in that is to provide us strength and ability to work, to gift us in areas that will enable us to work in whatever choosing that God has. And then provision. And as we work doing our part in that to acquire goods honestly, then God will provide. He will meet every single need that we have. And that's what we looked at. Acquiring goods is the first step in good stewardship. The second step is managing those goods. Managing what God has placed into our hands. All of us are stewards. The question is, am I a good steward or am I a poor steward? I am a steward. The question is, what kind of steward am I? For me to manage goods effectively and to be a good steward, I want to focus on three things quickly this morning that I've got to grasp if I'm going to be a good steward. The title of the message today is Managed Goods Effectively. To be a good steward, I must first have goods to steward. How do I get those? They're acquired honestly. Once God in His graciousness, providing strength for me to work and opening up His hand and satisfying the need of every living soul that the Bible tells us, then how do I manage what God has placed in my hand? That is the second step for me to be a good steward. Managing the goods effectively. How do I do that? Three things I want us to focus on. Number one, the realm of our stewardship. I got to have a grasp. For me to manage this, I've got to have a grasp of that realm that I'm to be managing. Just like any person who goes into a job, they want to understand the job description. What is the realm here? How do I relate here? What are my responsibilities? What is my oversight relate to? I need to get a grasp of that. Well, what is the grasp of my stewardship? What's the realm of that? From the very beginning, God made man the steward. of His creation. Genesis 1, verse 26, you know this verse. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God made this creation. Then He made man in His own image. And He said to man, man, you are going to have dominion over this creation that I have. In Psalm 8, verses 6 through 8, David's there reminding again about that responsibility. And there he says, thou madest him, and he's speaking about man, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Man was placed on earth to have dominion, to rule this creation of God. He doesn't have the ultimate authority. That, of course, belongs to God. Man is given a position of stewardship. He's given a position of manager of God's property. And our responsibility is to demonstrate faithfulness as a steward in God's plan with His creation. He made it all. He owns it all. But then He says, of all of this creation, man, you are to have dominion over this creation. And that's our realm. It's over all of it. We have, first of all, stewardship of the earth. We hear a lot in our day about the environment. We hear a lot about the potential threat that's posed by a consumer's lifestyle. And there's lots, of course, that you hear about to this and all kinds of organizations that scream about that. And although man was given dominion over the earth, we were not given permission to trash it. We do have a responsibility as we guide over this creation that God has made and said to man, you have dominion over this. We have a responsibility there. We ought to be concerned about the environment, but for totally different reasons that the average unbeliever screams about the environment today. The non-Christian looks at the earth and they look at the earth as the only hope. And therefore, it's got to be preserved. We don't look at it that way. We look at life as this earth, praise the Lord, is not the only hope that we have. We have an eternity in heaven, and that's where our citizenship is. But this is where we live. And God has said to man, you have dominion over the earth. You have dominion over all of these things. We ought to be concerned about the environment, not because we think it's the only place left here, but our motive there is to protect the environment because I'm charged with a responsibility to take care of God's creation. I've got that responsibility. Stewardship of the animals. The animal rights activists are strong advocates to protect animals. And some of them oppose testing, experimentation on animals for the benefit of man. They get really exercised, as you know about that. They often tend to want to elevate animals' rights to be equal with human rights. And they want to put the animal world on the same level as a human being. God didn't do that. God made a very clear distinction. And we may love our pets that come into our home and we kind of treat them like a part of the family and all of that. But there's a big difference between them and us. A big difference. We're given stewardship over them. And we ought to treat animals humanely. But there's a big difference between animals and humans. God said of that creation in Genesis 9 and verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Thirdly, we have a stewardship of our money and our possessions. In addition to managing the earth and stewarding everything that God has placed into our hands, we have a responsibility there. Often we think of stewardship in terms of money, but it is much more. As Jeremy highlighted for us a little bit this morning, managing, stewarding the children that God places into our home. What a great, great responsibility we have there. Managing effectively those treasures that we call our children that God places into our home. What a huge parent responsibility there. Managing effectively our time, managing effectively our talents, managing effectively our church, the physical plant, the ministry of the church. Why should we be careful to effectively manage all of this realm? Why should that be a concern to me? Here's the realm that God has said you have a responsibility to steward, mankind. You have a responsibility here. Why should I be concerned about that? You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice what God says in verse 10. He says here, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he stewards, how he manages, how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is that realm of responsibility, of stewardship that I have. The second thing we have to face to manage effectively, not only recognizing that realm, but also the reckoning that I will face. That you will face. How can we be sure that we are ready to face God with the account of our stewardship? How can we be sure of that? That we're going to be ready to face Him one day to account for our stewardship. The way we can be sure that we're ready to do that is to be managing effectively right now. Right now. And here's a few principles to help us with that. Number one, begin with the right foundation. He tells us that right off the bat. We're building and we're building on a foundation. And there's no other foundation that can be laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation that we've got to be certain that we're building on. The foundation, remember, that serves as the base. That serves as the support for the structure that's rising up off of it. And if we can have the mindset that all of us are in a building mode, all of us are stewarding this life that's rising up as God gives it breath and time. And as it's rising up, we're building, and we need to be certain that we are building on the right foundation. Did you know that you can build and build and build and build and it be on the wrong foundation? And we know what happens when we build on the wrong foundation. Remember, if you read the same Bible schedule that I did yesterday, you read the Sermon on the Mount. And after Jesus preached that sermon, he concluded the sermon and he gave the illustration of a foundation. There's a wise man and there was a foolish man. And everyone who would receive what Jesus had to say, he likened him to the wise man who built on the right foundation. But then there was a foolish man. And the foolish man built on a wrong foundation. He built on a foundation of sand. And in both of these lives, after the foundation was erected, their lives started happening. And the storms of life started coming. And the wise man who had the right foundation stood. The foolish man with that weak, sandy, false foundation crumbled. And I've got to be certain that if I'm going to manage, if I'm going to steward what God has placed into my hands, I've got to be building on the right foundation. That's the first step. And that, of course, begins with Jesus Christ. Beginning with Jesus Christ is the only right foundation. I must wisely steward this structure that's called life on the right foundation. That means it begins with Christ. That means I recognize God, my Creator. He's the one who made me. Our first parents, He made them, plunged the whole world into sin when they sinned. And now I've got a responsibility. Here's God calling people to Himself, sent His Son on the cross to die for my sins so that I could be brought into a right relationship with Him, so that I have a foundation to build on. That's the beginning point. It's beginning with the right foundation. But then notice I've got to not only build on the right foundation, but I've got to wisely use what God has placed into my hand, those possessions. And I have options. Verse 12 here. If any man build upon this foundation, here are the options. Gold, silver, precious stone. That's all one option. Wood, hay, stubble. That's another option. After laying the foundation, we begin building. And I'm either building with something that's perishable or I'm building with something that's imperishable. And I would like to challenge every one of us this morning. When you think about the things in the realm of stewardship that God has, we ought to be regularly stopping and asking ourselves, is this gold, silver, and precious stone, or is this wood, hay, and stubble? When I am stewarding and nurturing and guiding the children that God has placed in my home, the things that I am teaching them, the things that I am valuing with them, is that gold and silver and precious stones, or is that wood, hay, and stubble? Is this one thing that am I valuing and teaching them to value things that are going to stand them in good stead when they face God one day, or am I valuing things that are just going to blow up in smoke one day? As I'm stewarding my time, is this wood, hay, and stubble, or is this gold, silver, and precious stones? The talents that God has given to me, am I using those talents for gold, silver, and precious stones? Or am I spending my time using my talents chasing things that ultimately are going to be wood, hay, and stubble? Just doesn't matter. As it relates to our treasure, the financial means that God gives to us, am I building here with gold, silver, and precious stone on a foundation of Jesus Christ, or am I just wood, hay, and stubble here? I ought to have a family budget, and that budget that I have ought to reflect a solid foundation. It ought to reflect the right foundation. And then I ought to build accordingly. It's wise for me to save. That is wise. Proverbs 21:20, the Bible says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Here's the contrast. But a foolish man spendeth it up. It's wise for me to save. It's wise for me to budget. It's wise for me to be careful with those kinds of things. It's foolish for me to spend it all up. But I must be careful that I don't become one who hoards things. Remember, it's that open hand that God wants me to live with. And He wants me to have an open hand about all of those things. And I can use them all for the glory of God. Can I say just one caution to us when it comes to wisely stewarding what God has placed into our hands, can I give us just a caution this morning about debt? We have heard a lot about debt over the last few years in our own lives and in the life of our country and the life of the world. And we find ourselves dealing with this and can be that matter of fact, the greatest threat to managing effectively what God places into your home. I believe the greatest threat to that is debt. And we ought to be aware that people today, we have tremendous debt in the average home. You can Google all kinds of things. There was a whole range of that. I just Googled quickly this past week. What's the average debt that the American holds? And they range. The average American, they say, have about 3.5 credit cards. And our average debt, the average American has a debt that ranges. This is a wide range, but somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 or $16,000. That's the average. And we have folks today that are so paralyzed and unable to manage effectively because we have so much debt. Living beyond what God has given to me. And me reaching beyond to have things beyond what God has given to me. And I can get them so easily. And then I begin to struggle with how am I going to handle this? How am I going to take care of this debt? How am I going to pay those charges and things? We must be very careful about that. And if you're in the throes of that today, I would encourage you to get on a path that will help you get out of that as quickly as you possibly can. Because and view every time a credit card thing comes in the mail, view it as a threat to your managing effectively what God has placed into your home. Don't mean we couldn't or shouldn't have credit cards. We have a credit card. But our credit card, matter of fact, just this past week, I had a conversation on the phone with a person that related to our credit card. I pay all of our bills and I usually pay them online. And my credit card bill this past month, it's due on the 5th and I paid it on the 5th at 11 p.m. It slipped up on me, and the next statement came along, and I got the statement, and here is this $25 late fee, and here's a finance charge of over $100. It was going to be like $150. So I looked at my back, and I said, well, no, I paid that. Well, I looked back, I realized I paid it late at 11 p.m., and so it didn't get credited until the next day. So I called him. I said, you know, I'm calling you today, and I explained things, and I said, I'm asking you for some mercy here. I said, if you'll notice this, our credit here, I pay our credit card on time every month, and I pay the balance in full every month. I don't carry any balance on a credit card. And I'm asking you for mercy here. And the gentleman, he was probably in India somewhere. I don't know where he was, but when I was talking to him and he said, OK, I'm going to have to put you on hold for a minute. I need to check your account. So he put me on hold for about 3 minutes. And then he comes back and he says, I checked your account and I'm amazed that you pay your bill in full every month. And several times in the conversation, he said, that amazes me. And the thing that struck me was how surprised he was that I don't have credit debt, that I pay it off every single month. And he was totally shocked by that. And he said, thank you for being a good customer. I'm glad to remove those charges. So I was thankful for the mercy there. But we ought to get in the habit of not living beyond. And the credit card is the big thing that helps me to live beyond where I really can live. And then it becomes a very challenging. Learn to live carefully and within God's provision. Remember when we first got married, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And we moved off campus. The first few years of our marriage, we lived in a furnished apartment in a dormitory, and then moved off campus. And we moved off campus and moved into this little home. And when I started to look at renting an apartment and buying a home, and I grew up in a construction background, so I'm pretty handy with my hands. And I said, you know what? Let's just buy this house rather than paying. It needs some work, but I can do that, and we'll get the work done. And stuff. So we bought this house, moved into it. Our dining room table was a cardboard table with four folding chairs. You go into our bedroom, and our bedroom, there was a box springs and a mattress laying on the floor. That was what we had, and that was all that we had. And that was okay. If you fell out of bed, it was a short distance to the floor. Yeah, that was okay. But it's learning to live within what God has blessed us with. And it is, debt can be a tremendous, tremendous threat to my being able to manage effectively. And if we meet the average here today, and I have no idea, but if we meet the average here today, we ought to get on, and you're part of that average, you ought to get on a plan to say, I am going to get out of this debt. And if that's a struggle for you, managing your credit and stuff like that, you tend to be an impulsive person. One of the best things you could do is take those things and cut up every one of them and throw them away to keep from further being threatened in your desire to manage effectively what God has placed into our home. And then thirdly, invest for the future. The wise investor is always thinking about the future. He's not sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. He's always looking at the future. And then very quickly, the third thing I want us to think about, and look back in Matthew 6 for just a moment. We're going to close here. In that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, I recognize the realm. I look at this reckoning that I've got. I'm going to face the Lord one day. I want you to notice the reward here very quickly. Verse 19 of chapter 6, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." I've got to recognize my heavenly investments determine what my real assets are. Make sure we catch that. My heavenly investments determine what my real assets are. Because that's where life really is. Those are the real assets that I have, what I have sent on up before, what I have invested in for eternity. I remember reading the illustration of a fellow, Dr. George Truett. He was a preacher in this country in the last century, the first half of the last century, the 20s, 30s of 1920s, 1930s. God used him tremendously in his day. It was on one occasion at the home of a wealthy man in Texas. After they had had dinner, the man took him outside to a very fancy home where he was, took him outside there, and he said to him, "Brother Tuart, I want you to look out over this way." And he looked out and he's looking at a huge field of oil derricks. He said, "I want you to just look at those." He said, "I own every one of them." He said, "I came to this country 25 years ago. I didn't have a dime. I was penniless. Look out there, everywhere you can see all of those there I own." Then he turned over to the opposite direction behind him and said, "I want you to look over there. Look at all those waving fields of grain that you see. I own every one of them. As far as your eye can go, I own that." He went to another direction and said, "Look at those huge herds of cattle. That's all mine. As far as you can see, all of those heads of cattle, they belong to me." Took him in another field, on another side, just tall forest, just fields and fields of a forest. "I own every bit of that. As far as your eye can go, I own every bit of that. I came to this country, I didn't have a dime, but if you look around here, and this is what I own." And this wise pastor put his hand on the shoulder of this man and said, "Tell me, how much do you own in this direction?" And he pointed up. That's where this fellow's true assets are, is up there. What am I investing for eternity's sake? That's what really matters. Everything that I can get here, whatever house, whatever car, however large a bank account, whatever investments that I make in this life, all of that is going to stay right here. Except what I have managed effectively to send ahead by investing in eternity. All of the rest of it, moth and rust, as he tells us here, has the potential there to come in and just corrupt it. But nothing that I send ahead gets corrupted. It will impact everything about me. I wish we had time to develop this passage, but I'm just looking at the clock and we're not going to have time here. But let me just say this. Let's be certain, as we are stewarding, we're managing effectively, that I'm building on the right foundation and that I am wisely using what God has placed in my hand. And I am growing accustomed to living within the blessing of God in my life, so that I can have to invest in eternity on that right foundation. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we recognize that everything that we hold in this life, it comes because of your hand. And we pray, Lord, that you might help us, that we might hold these things, managing them effectively, recognizing they're not ours. But we will give an accounting to you of our stewardship, and we want to be found faithful in that. And so would you help us to carefully lay the right foundation and build on that foundation with gold and silver and precious stones. And would you give us, Lord, discerning hearts to see wood, hay, and stubble. And would you help us, Lord, to be building in ways that will enable us to be able to invest in your work that which will count for eternity. Give us an eternal vision, a vertical look. And may we seek to have our assets be those eternal investments that we will give to you one day. Bless our invitation time now, we pray, and in Jesus' name, amen.